Hi there. Today I'm here with Will McGuggan. He is the creator of Rich, Textual, and the founder of Textualize. I'm very excited to talk to you, Will. How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Good to be here.
So you are the creator of probably the most popular Python libraries for creating text-based user interfaces, or TUIs in short, Rich and Textual. So tell us a little bit more about those?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Textual came first. Textual is a Python library which allows you to write nicely formatted content to the terminal. So you can do color and style, italic, bold, underline, etc. It'll also do basic stuff like text wrapping and more advanced formatting and things like tables, panels. It can also do syntax highlighting. It just makes content in the terminal much easier to read and to visually parse. And it took off. It became quite popular in the Python community. And later on, I built Textual on top of Rich. Textual is where Rich is for static content. Textual is for more dynamic content. It's for building applications which look very much like GUI applications, but are actually constructed with text and Unicode characters. So it generates essentially a GUI inside your terminal, which has buttons and scroll bars and, tables. It's all very dynamic, and you can build like fully featured applications. They have a slightly retro feel because it's built with text, but they function very much like a desktop application or even a web app sometimes.
Yeah, so that means that Rich is basically like for styling, like colors and stuff, and Textual is to make it interactive.
Pretty much, yeah. So Rich is mostly static. You can build output by composing various primitives. So you could take some text. You can set the formatting. You can have it aligned to left, the right, the center, or justify it. You can put it inside a table, and then you can also put other components inside the table, and then you print it. And it's quite static once it comes out. It's there in the terminal in this scrollback buffer. But the Textual adds the kind of dynamic layer, which means that you can click in it and modify it and input text and press buttons, etc. But they are very much connected. So you can anything you can use in Rich, you can use inside Textual as well. So because one's built on top of the other.
So that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you say it runs in a terminal, is it like, it runs on Python apparently. Python in and of itself is like portable. It works on pretty much any architecture and machine. Is the same thing true for Textual because it's just text? Mm-hmm. Does it run everywhere I have a terminal?
It runs pretty much everywhere. Yeah, that's one of the great use cases of it. All you need is a terminal. You don't even need a GUI. It runs on all the major platforms. It runs wherever Python can run, which is almost everywhere. It can run over SSH, so you can essentially run an application remotely, use it wherever you happen to be, and get like a full.
I mean, there are some people that run an online shop in SSH.
That's right. Yeah, they sell coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, very interesting. If I'm not mistaken, you started it back in 2021, I guess. Is that right?
That sounds about right, yeah. Yeah. Almost 5-ish years, yeah.
Yeah, so I was wondering, because text came first. It's the first idea that how we humans interacted with the computer. Mm. And some things like Textual or in other languages, other libraries, came later. They actually came after things like Electron, where we had JavaScript as native apps and in GUI frameworks. So what is it about the CLI/TUI tools that made them like popular quite recently?
They've always been there. The interesting thing is they predate desktops. There was some kind of like it's like a chat like interface. It's basically existed because it was the simplest way of interacting with a computer, keyboard and text. And the interesting thing is that they didn't get replaced. You know, when the desktop came along, they didn't disappear. When the web came along, they didn't disappear. I think the interesting development recently is chatbots, is LLMs, because those have an interface that is very much like a terminal. It's in the web, but it is it's the same kind of interaction. You know, you type text, you get the response in a streaming window of text. And it seems to be just, we found a way of interacting with computers, which is just very kind of fundamental and straightforward. And it's probably always going to be with us. And until we have like implants in our brain, which can directly translate our thoughts into the computer, I think we'll have a terminal of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, before we talk about the chatbots or like code assistants and stuff, like I mentioned it, you started it in 2021, so apparently there was no ChatGPT back then. So what kind of applications did you have in mind when you started working on Rich and Textual?
Well, it's almost anything. People use programming tools are very popular. Because engineers, we work in the terminal, and it's great to be able to go straight from the command line into an app and then back to the command line again. So developer tools, anything that works with code and databases. But also financial things, anything that works with numbers. The terminal is actually really good at displaying numbers, nice formatted columns that update very quickly. But additionally, anything. Almost anything. We've had music players, which you wouldn't have thought, you know, the terminal would be the best choice for, but people built music players. They built anything from to-do apps. Someone built a version of MS Paint that runs in the terminal, which is very,
very cool.
So developers were just very happy to have this toolkit that allowed them to build applications very quickly. The alternatives, and there's plenty of alternatives, the alternatives, desktop app and web apps, they have quite a large learning curve. And one of the reasons that they are hard to build for is that those platforms can do more than the terminal. You know, they're very graphically rich, and that gives you a lot of options and a lot of ways, lots of buttons and levers. But the terminal is simpler. The terminal is like a grid of text, and that's essentially all it'll ever be. So the very fact that terminals have that limitation makes them easier to work with, because there's less buttons and levers to push, and often the choices are clearer. So you can build it in a much more straightforward manner. You don't spend forever tweaking things.
Yeah, and you don't have like small font sizes and stuff that would become like a design challenge.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, I mean, you can design to some extent. We have actually, paradoxically, I built Textual with kind of web standards almost. I used CSS for changing the style of your web apps. But even then, it's much simpler. It's a much smaller footprint than the web. It is just a simpler platform to build for.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about the internals later on. I mean, those are pretty interesting. Like you mentioned like web technologies like CSS. And I believe I've seen also like a possibility to run like terminal apps eventually in the browser again, that, like there is some kind of WebSocket connection. Before we go into that, like, do you have like a favorite TUI app that is built with Textual?
There's quite a few out there. There's one called Dolphy, which is very good. It's an SQL interface, and it's as good as anything you can get in the web. There's Posting, which is very good, by a friend of mine, Darren Burns, and it is like a Postman like equivalent that runs in the terminal. So it allows you to experiment with HTTP requests and connect to APIs. You can do lots of exploratory work with various API services. Mm. So yeah, there's quite a few out there.
So you get basically the whole developer experience, like with a much smaller footprint and like with less changes in the user interface, right? Because all of them, not that they look all the same, but they are like more streamlined than different things on different services on the web, right?
Yeah, they tend to be snappier and more responsive. I love the web. I used to be a web developer, so I'm not anti-web per se. But you know, when you go to a website and you click something, it's quite common for it to take a couple of seconds to get response. Even today, with the super powerful computers we're using, we don't have these snappy interfaces. But in the terminal, because it's just working with text, and when you do something, the screen's updated by sending a couple of K worth of characters. And it updates very quickly, so it's much more snappy and responsive. And that's not something which is exclusively terminal, but it's easier with the terminal. I think to make that kind of snappiness and responsiveness in the desktop app or the web app, you have to work at it. You have to, you know, that 500 milliseconds delay, you would have to like
to work get the latest to get icon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to like, focus on getting those delays down and making it responsive.
Yeah. I mean, as a developer, like the first thing that you do is write a Hello World program in the language of your choice. So printing text is probably the first thing you do when learning a new language. So we all know how to do that. There's print in Python. But what is needed actually to turn that text into an like colorful text, that would be like the first hurdle, but then even into something that is clickable, selectable, and all of that. So what is the source, the secret source that those libraries add to it? So what's technically needed to make that possible?
Right. So the terminal, yes, you can print text. You just print a string of text and it'll just appear in the terminal. You can also insert these special sequences. They begin with an escape character and some formatted characters, and that allows you to manipulate the output in the terminal. So there's escape sequences for, you know, change the foreground to red or something, or change the background, or move the cursor and then put some text up at the top left-hand corner, that kind of thing. They've been around forever, yet surprisingly really badly documented and somewhat inconsistent. You have to work quite hard to find all the information, and it's constantly changing. But you do have this kind of like this platform that you can build on, which is cross-platform sort of work everywhere. It's not something that you could, if you just sat down with just a plain terminal and wanted to write something like the, you know, like posting, it'd be remarkably difficult. It would be like having a browser where the only two functions are get pixel and put pixel. It's so atomic, so it's almost impossible to build for unless you've got a framework. So that's what Textual is. Textual is the framework. It makes everything high level. You don't have to worry about parsing control codes and moving cursors. You make like high level declarations, and the output is, you know, creates a nice interface for you.
So basically, you mentioned like CSS already. That is apparently not something that the terminal would understand natively. So that is basically the abstraction that you put on top of it, right? So because like you chose a way that developers already knew in order to make something for a different platform. Love that idea.
Yeah. So in Textual, we have widgets, which are basically rectangular regions. And there's a number of different styles you can set on them. You can set border. We've got various border styles. You can set border left, right, and top and bottom. You can set the background color, the foreground color. You can set hover styles, that kind of thing. And you can express that quite well in CSS. some people are put off because they might have used CSS in the browser and find it horrendously complicated than it is. But like I said earlier, the browser is a much bigger platform and can do you know, so much more. But when it comes to the terminal, you've got a much smaller subset of rules, and they're quite obvious and explicit, at least once you've used it for a bit. So that was the reason we used CSS. It separates the output from what it looks like. You write Python code, which creates the data that you want to display, and then the CSS defines how it's displayed, what it looks like, and allows you to iterate very quickly, because you don't constantly having to restart. If you don't use Texton, use something like Curses, which is the API that existed long before Textual. If you want to make any slight changes to the output, you had to write some code, change the border style. It might take you an hour, and then you run it again, and then you see it, and then you realize, oh no, that border
that didn't work.
That doesn't work. Yeah, so that's so the iteration is very slow, and the options are very limited. But with Textual, you want to add a border. It's just one line of CSS. You don't even have to restart the app. It'll just refresh the CSS, and the interface will change.
Oh, wow. So that is the live reload?
Live reload, yeah. So yeah, just cool. You can just edit the CSS and watch the interface update accordingly. And the iteration is very, very fast. And you can build things that look remarkably elegant, remarkably web-like as well.
Yeah, so if you want to update a border or maybe scroll a table with a sticky header or something, how does it work internally? Does it repaint all the characters, or does it go specifically at some widget place and starts to replace individual characters? How does that
work? Oh, it can update portions of the screen. At the simplest level, you can update a widget. So a widget could be as small as a character. It might be an input. It might be span 40 characters by 3 characters, so it can update a single widget. But you can also update portions of that widget. You can explicitly in the code, say, I want to update this small region here, and Textual will update that region. And it's also quite smart in that if you have lots of updates, it'll combine them into a single update, and then it'll paint as little as it possibly can to give you the full effect. It updates small portions of the screen, but in general, as a developer, you don't have to worry about that. Just change the data.
That's the abstraction layer, basically. So I see updating a widget as a developer working with Textual, but behind the scenes, does it repaint the entire screen?
It'll just repaint the bits. It'll repaint the widget. If you change a bit of data in a widget, it'll repaint just that widget, which might be a portion of the screen. Okay. If you want to update portions with inside a widget, then you might have a little bit more effort. You might have to say self.refresh region, and then you give it the XY coordinates and the width and the height. But generally, there's not much point in doing that because it's text and it's very fast to update. Even if you do update the full screen, you wouldn't even notice it as a user. You press one character, repaints the entire screen. You wouldn't notice it. But you generally won't. It'll narrow it down to just the bits that need to change.
Okay, got it. So besides Ridge and Textual, there's also Textualize, which was or is the company behind it. So what's the story behind that?
So a few years ago, when I started Textual, I founded a startup called Textualize. And our goal was to kind of popularize terminal applications in general, building with Textual. We succeeded in one way. We succeeded in making Textual very popular. It's still very popular. People are building with it more than ever. But as a company, we didn't make it, basically. So we wrapped up about 6 months ago.
Okay, what was the initial idea behind that? Because it sounded like you created basically a standard like CSS for the terminal, so to say, if you want to put that in one line. But where's the intended business case behind that?
So the business case
didn't work out.
Yeah, the business case was we want to create a toolkit to create applications which can run remotely. Mm-hmm. So you could install a textual app in that's connected to maybe some industrial equipment or some lab equipment that isn't internet connected, and then you could administer that device remotely through a web interface. And we built that technology. You can turn these terminal apps into web apps. So they just appear in the browser. They look just almost like a regular web app. But we couldn't find that kind of like killer app where it was an obvious better solution to everything else. It just wasn't a scalable solution. It was a good solution to some people's problems, but it wasn't enough to build a business off of. Well, maybe not, but the current climate for investment was not, you know, beneficial for us at that time. So I'm not quite sure whether that approach would have succeeded or not, but I'm still quite happy that I built Textual. It is very popular. There's a huge community of developers behind it.
So now that the company behind it is defunct, but you're still maintaining it, right?
That's right. So after running a startup for a few years, I was a bit burnt out. It's hard work. It's stressful. I wasn't looking after myself. I decided to take a year sabbatical where I would just, you know, look after myself and, you know, just be healthy. But of course, I got bored. It was good. It was good for a week, but a few weeks in, I got bored, and at the time I thought I was sick of programming, but it turns out it was just the stress. I actually really enjoy programming, and I can't tear myself away from Textual. It is a fantastic project, and I've enjoyed building it. So I'm still maintaining it, and I've got another project that I'm working on. It's an application built with Textual. Which is, I'm getting quite enthusiastic about. So that's keeping my interest, and it's allowing me to continue to maintain rich and textual, and also do tech support.
So I think the application that you're excited about is called Toad, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Yep.
So that's initially basically also like a CLI/TUI chat app. Much in the same way as Claude Code or even GitHub Copilot now has a CLI tool.
Yeah, there's quite a few of these, yeah.
So what is Toad like about? What sets it apart from all of those?
Well, so I resisted agentic coding for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But then I looked at it and I was impressed by what it could do. But the interfaces, the CLIs provided by these big tech companies, left a lot to be desired. They were doing things which I knew there were far better solutions from, because I've been working in the terminal for 3 years, three plus years if you include Rich, and I saw their interfaces and they flickered, and they weren't very interactive. They weren't very colorful. They weren't very elegant. The formatting was poor. And it saddened me because I developed all these techniques of making like rich applications running in the terminal. And these guys were completely unaware of it. And I knew I could do better with Textual. So I started building like a proof of concept. And it only took me a few weeks to get something which was like their interface, had like a text area and a stream of text. Textual had good markdown support, so it formatted markdown remarkably well in the terminal. And I could see that I could build a much better interface than these guys have done.
Yeah, that's the developer spirit. Love it.
Yeah, it's crazy to me because I'm just one guy at the moment. You know, I don't have a backing of a company, but I built a better interface than these companies, which are hiring dozens of developers to work on their CLIs. And I'm not saying I'm any smarter than them. I'm not. It's just I've had a 5-year head start. I know how to build these applications. And I wanted to give it a go. I wanted to build something which is better than they're offering. So that's what I'm doing. It's designed to be a universal front end to these coding tools. Mm-hmm. So I'm not building an agent because that's not my core skill set at the moment, and I don't think I could beat Anthropic or Google or any of these things. But I can build a really kick-ass front end. So that's what I'm building at the moment.
So you basically get your API keys from wherever, OpenRouter or Azure or Anthropic, Copilot. Then you start Toad from the command line, apparently, and then you start going, right?
Well, it's essentially, but since I started working on that, I discovered a protocol designed by Zed Industries, the people that built the Zed editor. Okay. And this allows agents to connect to any front end. So they're using it for agents like Claude, Gemini, mm-hmm. To kind of integrate with their UI. But I can use it as well for integrating with my terminal app.
So basically a unified API for all the large language models out there? Is that what it is?
Well, it's more for the agent. So the agent is a software which connects to the large language models. So essentially it's an alternative front end to Claude Code, Gemini, and potentially many others, which just doesn't have the problems that the other interfaces have. So it doesn't flicker. It's quite dynamic, so you can scroll up, you can interact, you can select and copy text, you can run shell commands and get full color output. It works much better than the standard CLIs offered by these big companies.
So you mentioned it that you resisted AI assisted coding for a longer time. So what made your you switch your mind?
I guess it's just hard to deny because
apparently
it's everywhere. People are using it. I had a very poor impression of the code that it generates. So sometimes it generates poor code. It can get you up and running quickly, but then there's lots of errors, and it can actually take you longer to correct the errors that AI makes. But that said, there are many applications where it's absolutely fine. Thing is, code is different. There are different types of code. There's not just one type of code. There's like really finely tuned artisanal code that's beautiful, and everything is like mapped out. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got something which just does one job, and that's it, and it's almost throwaway. And there's a whole gamut in between. And I think the AI's proven that it can be very useful, but at some point where that needle is between like vibe coding and artisanal code, and that needle's moving. That needle is increasing the quality, and it's just undeniable that developers are going to be using this more. So I don't think it's there yet. I think right at the moment, I would say that the AI generated code is a net negative. This is terrible. Okay. I'm building this app to like make it better. But I can see the trend. I know that in the future, it's going to get a lot better, and we're going to use it a lot more. We're going to understand it a lot more, and we are going to be using AI. I want to retire in 10 years, and it'll happen before that 10 years. It might happen in the next few years. I'm not sure where I was going with this, but it's undeniable that AI is here. It's here to stay, and the least I can do is build great tools to make the user experience better.
Love that perspective. And I mean, like, if you're going to replace within 10 years, maybe you care, but if it's after 10 years, you're in a very lucky position. Like, if you want to retire by then.
Yeah, I think if I just ignore AI, I'll just be a dinosaur very, very soon. you know, two or three years, I'll be a dinosaur. I don't want to be a dinosaur before I retire.
So, do you use Toad to build Toad?
No, not yet. I have used, you know, it's an interface to Gemini. Gemini is the first one which I've got connected, and I've used Gemini and Claude to generate bits of code to get me started. And it's been great because I would take longer to if I'm doing something that's a bit new that I haven't quite mastered, and I'm not just like doing it from memory. I could do lots of research. I would probably eventually come up with the answer, but it's much so much easier to ask Claude or Gemini. But I have found that I have to refine it quite a bit afterwards.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no like 100% like AI generated code in Toad yet, but there is. It started out as AI generated code.
Yeah, I mean that's also what I see. What AI can excel at is actually like doing the mentorship part. Like if you want to explore something new, it gets you on track relatively quickly. And then, yeah, you have to take it from there, apparently, if it's a bit more complex. But it's very good for like onboarding things.
It is. It's superior to search. You know, I was a master of Google. I have this idea that you can be a just-in-time developer. It's like you don't really have to learn anything. You can just when you need it, you Google for it. That generally works for me. But I realized that AI is better. It'll take me less time to get the information I need. And some examples.
I love it. Just-in-time developer.
Yeah. And also I can ask it. You know, I can see an example. And I'm a bit puzzled by how that works. So I can ask it. I have a conversation. And that's just so much quicker than Googling and pouring through blog posts and documentation and things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like, how do you think, like, the quality of AI-generated code has improved? I mean, obviously, you're doing, like, that for a bit of time now. What changes do you notice?
It's getting better. It's quite vague, just better. I mean, I kept an eye on it when I was working with Textual, because obviously I wanted to know, could the AI build a textual app? And that was my benchmark. And for a while, it couldn't. It had, you know, had the docs and its training data, but I asked it to build an app, and it would hallucinate stuff. It would just be garbage. Yeah. The code would come out, and I'd think, well, that looks right. But then I started to focus in it a bit more, and I realized, no, it's just made that up. Well, that'll never work. Mm-hmm. But just a year, maybe 18 months, it started to be able to build textual apps, which were all right. You know, they would run the whole thing without any errors, or sometimes like a small fix. So yeah, it's got better. I mean, textual's not huge. It's not like React. React has so much more documentation out there on the web. We've got very good docs, but React has got way more docs. So textual, compared to React, is like a smaller API, but still, with what it had, it could do a pretty good job at generating textual apps. So I realized that it's here to stay, basically. I think AI is a bubble. The bubble will grow, it'll burst, and it'll collapse, and it'll start growing again. I think we're going to be in this phase of like bubbles bursting for the next few years. But it's, you know, it's the trend is upward.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like the .com bubble, right? I mean, there was a bubble, apparently, but that didn't make the internet go away.
No.
Also, apparently.
Exactly. The same thing happened. There was a bubble.
Yeah.
It was inflated. It burst. It collapsed. But then the core of what made it valuable was still there. And then, like I said, it's you know, ubiquitous now. We can't live without the internet. I think in the future, AI will be the same.
Got it. Like from the improvements that you saw, how much do you think can be attributed to like an improvement in the models? And how much of that can be attributed of your skills in interacting with the AI got better?
So my test early on, I didn't have any skills with interacting with AI. I would just ask it to build something. I'd give it like a couple of sentences to build, you know, build a snake game using textual. So that was my depth of knowledge when it came to prompt engineering. And initially it couldn't do it, but gradually it got better and better. So yeah, I didn't have any AI skills, and I'm still working through it. I'm still climbing the you know, mountain of ignorance to understand how AI works and how to get the best out of it.
Are there any insights of like what is on that mountain? Like how did you improve, like, with interacting with prompt engineering, context engineering, and whatnot? Like, is there something that you could share? Like, what made the difference for you?
I'm not sure there is. I think be explicit in the way that you would be explicit with a junior developer. Don't leave any assumptions, and it takes a few iterations in it. And yeah, you have to write more than you think. Interestingly, it's a similar skill to writing. Writing is a very important wet skill, I think, for software developers. The ability to express your thoughts clearly is what writing's all about. And the same thing with prompt engineering. If you can express your thoughts clearly and unambiguously in a prompt, then the AI will do more with it.
Well, actually, that's the basic skill of a programmer, right? But up until now, we did it in computer languages, but now we can do it in natural languages, which like imposes a new set of problems, because natural language, by definition, is a bit more ambiguous.
A bit more ambiguous, yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think writing and programming come from the same core competence. You know, when you create an AI, let's start an API, you want to be able to express something clearly and unambiguously as possible. You take your thoughts and translate it to an API, and it's the same kind of skill, taking your thoughts and translate it to English. So maybe in the future, programmers are going to be people, they're going to be writers more than engineers, but it's a very similar skill set.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, there was like, I think it was Alan Cox in the Linux community who said, code is poetry. So that could become true in a whole new way.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. I think my code's more like Bogon poetry. If you understand that reference. Yeah.
So what's the future for Toad then? You continue working on that, apparently. What do you say? Is it feature complete now? What are your plans for that?
It's not quite feature complete. No, it's come together recently. You can actually use it to talk to Gemini. There's still a whole bunch of features I want to implement. So I'm going to keep building it. I want to release it as open source. At the moment, it's in a private repo. Mm-hmm. I don't want to open source it now because it's not quite working. From start to finish, I want all the features to join up, then I'll release it as open source. And I find once you do that, things have a way of just growing in popularity. I'll get a lot of feedback, hopefully, and I'll just improve it from there. And beyond that, I'm not sure, to be honest. I know people asking, this going to become like a startup? It's possible. If this doesn't conflict with my kind of like ideals of open source, it could become a startup. It could become my next gig. You know, even if it's just allows me to make a living, I would be very, very happy with that. So it remains to be seen where we go from there.
So it's in a private repo. Is there yet a way to try it out? Or
well, I am inviting. Some people to help me, give me feedback at this moment. But you'll have to work hard to, test it, because it's not quite in a, fully ready state. But I'm not far off a public release at all. Mm-hmm. I reckon six weeks, I'll have like a version which is broadly feature complete. You'll be able to like connect to Gemini and do your workflow inside Toad. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that point because I've always liked working in the open. When I build things, I think that the earlier you get feedback, the better the end result's going to be.
Yeah. So, like, if people listening or watching interested to get such an invite, so what's a good way to reach out to you?
Probably join the Discord server, the Text Alliance Discord server. I set that up when Text Alliance was a company, but the server still exists and it's quite a big community there. There is a Toad channel, so if you join join the Toad channel, I'm happy to chat, and eventually fairly soon I would probably invite a whole bunch of folks, additional folks, to help me test. So if you want the earliest access possible, that's probably the best route to it.
Yeah, very cool. We link that down in the show notes after that. Yeah,
okay,
thank you very much. That was interesting insights into your views on open source, the whole terminal thing. Very cool. Just one last question. Which terminal do you personally use? There are a lot of them, and people tend to have strong opinions. What's yours?
Well, if you saw my desktop, he's bizarrely in my taskbar, I've got like half a dozen terminals because I need to test them.
I assume all these terminals, they are for testing, right?
Yeah, yeah. But my daily driver is currently iTerm.
Okay.
I think it's just been most reliable on Mac OS, so there's plenty of other good ones. The one that's kind of I am kind of switching between quite regularly is Ghosty, which is a very new terminal, which looks great and it's fast and it's snappy, but it's not quite as fully featured as iTerm. For the moment at least, I'm iTerm, team iTerm.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. It was good to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.